flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to everyone. I have to tell a story of the year. I just love it so much. So when Phoebe turned 16, I got her and her girls a limo bus. You know, they went out for the whole night, blah, blah, blah. And the limo driver was chatting them up, and he was like, look, you are lucky to have me. I only drive for the cream of the crop, only the best A1 celebrities. And Phoebe, your dad is an A1 celebrity. I got to tell you that right now. And that's why you have me. And they're all like, whoa, wow. So later in the night, they're at a restaurant and he was looking at his phone and he pulled up Google and his top search was, who is Dave Glover?
That's so amazing.
I just love that. A1, cream of the crop. Best of the best.
That's so good.
Who the hell is Dave Glover?
I love that.
Oh, it's funny.
Like, what if he did? Like, who the hell is Dave Glover? He just added the hell.
Everyone good?
Yep.
Friday?
Yeah. Solid.
Shout out to Judith and Steve. Last night I did a Noda vigil and I was on the elevator leaving, and they were on the elevator leaving. They had visited a friend and brought them happy hour. They have a friend who's in rehab there, not in the nursing home, and got to talk in. They're fans of the KMOX, fans of the show, so hello to them. And I believe it or not, I am very cognizant of not talking too much about the Noda stuff and turning people, and they're like, oh my God, I'm so sick of this guy talking about it. But just one story from last night, it's the quintessential St. Louis small town story. So I'm sitting with a woman named Kathleen, who's with a couple of days of passing away, and her husband Ron comes in, and I have full permission to talk about them. Got to know Ron. He said it was fine. And long story short, after talking to Ron for about half an hour, her husband, it turns out that they are like almost best friends with Maureen's sister and her husband. Like they're big Dogtown people. Mm-hmm. And so it's just like one moment I'm with a complete stranger, just playing music for her, holding her hand. And then the next moment it's like, oh my gosh, we're like one degree of separation.
Yeah.
And so it just goes to show you that you never know who you're helping, and you just never know who's like that close to you. But it was just, in all candor, I did not want to go last night. I wasn't in the mood for it. I was tired. I hadn't slept well. I didn't want to go. And then Ron and I spent 2 hours talking about his relationship with Kathleen and all the things they used to do. And it was just so cool. Mm. It's like people letting you in. It's such an honor when, you know, in their final hours and they're letting you in on their life. Like, here's what we did. And we used to go to Colorado and we loved going to Florida and Sanibel Island. And we'd spend a month there, but it was too long. So we spent 3 weeks. Just like so cool. Really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, good for them too.
Well, sure.
You know, you're processing things and it helps to have someone that's good to talk
to. It would help me. Yeah. It would help me. Yeah. I know when it was mom, I was talking to the volunteers and just like trying to get all the information you can, because you know that your loved one is imminent, but you don't know what that means, a day or a week, and you just want all the information you can get.
Yep.
And then suddenly you're in the position, and I'm the farthest thing from an expert, but you're in the position where they're like, what did your mom this, and did she that, and did she look like that? So, yeah, interesting. How's everyone's Friday going? Race is back Monday.
Yep. Nice.
Almost made it.
So whatever fun we're going to have the day.
We got to have like a Planet of the Apes day.
Last day to bark with the dogs.
I'm not even sure what that means, but I'm in.
we're the monkeys. We take over.
I thought you fundamentally disagreed with that movie.
No.
Here we go.
We don't have to get into the whole thing.
No, it's talk about the Robbie Williams movie.
One movie where there's everybody's a human.
Let me see if I can explain.
The star is a monkey.
Let me see if I can explain it. Wheels is okay with a movie that's in a different universe.
Yes, yeah. With
and
all
you
monkeys.
Can be a tonsil or you can be a monkey or a spatula. You don't care.
Yes,
but if it's in our universe, don't go putting monkeys in as people.
I mean, you can create rules of engagement. Like there are things that happen in our world, like vampire movies happen in our world.
Okay,
but you kind of explain things. But like it's a real guy saying, this is my story, but my face is a monkey.
Can I remind everybody that this is about a movie that none of us will ever
well,
see.
This was, I mean, and that's what started
ever.
The whole thing was
any
my
of the
point.
Six of us will never watch
this is what
film.
Started the whole conversation because I saw the trailer and I brought it up as this is the stupidest idea in the world. Nobody's going to see this movie because the star person is a monkey. And everybody else is just normal.
What about Hot Frosty? He was a snowman.
Stupid. I didn't see that either. I'm sure it did really well.
Where does that fall in your set of rules, though? Is
Which
that
one?
A different universe? Hot Frosty.
It's just totally
Hot
unacceptable.
Hot Frosty is our universe, just like
it's
Monkey
totally
Man.
Totally unacceptable in every way, shape, or form.
Totally unacceptable.
My favorite thing about it is how angry it makes you.
Well, you guys sometimes think that I sound angry when I'm not.
No, you're mad.
Because when I'm mad, it's
You're
a
mad.
Different
it's
thing.
An understandable misconception.
No, because I am loud and assertive and aggressive, even when I'm not angry. Yes, that's true.
Yes.
Well, and you don't like it when rules are broken.
Well, no, I'm just saying it takes you out of the movie, right? Like, it's just like when you're in a movie, don't you like to be in the movie, in the story?
Yeah, but I also like to be surprised.
Yeah. Surprise is different than taking you out and you're like, oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh, he's a monkey.
This isn't really. Like, if you're watching a period piece and then you catch someone on the set that's got, like, a Starbucks cup in their hand, you're like, oh.
That happened.
I know. That's why I brought it up. Because when you notice it, you're like, it takes you out of the moment for a second and it can.
And then you're reminded of the Trish Gazelle rule that they're just people pretending to be other people.
Or in this case, a fake monkey pretending to be a real person.
Who's pretending to be himself,
yeah. Yeah.
I think the only thing about that whole concept is I don't understand, and maybe if I watched it I would know. Like, why is he a monkey?
Because that's how he felt. He always felt like he was a performing monkey for everybody.
Which I think could be an interesting film if it weren't about Robbie Williams.
Well, it could
With
be.
All due respect to Robbie.
I have no idea who he is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's a British singer, and that's all I know.
Late 90s, early 2000s,
and
very
so
famous.
And so it's not that I don't care about his life, because from what Janelle says, it's an interesting movie with very dark themes, so I could enjoy it. Hell, I watch movies about people who don't even exist, but if it were about someone who I at least had some connection to.
Well, and it's funny, because you go to Rotten Tomatoes, the critic scores are amazing. And the audience scores are great, but nobody's seeing it because I think everybody's seeing the same. It's two things. It's the, I don't know who that is. And then also you're like, watch the trailer and you're like, well, this is stupid. It's a monkey.
But then they watched.
And your mom's a human.
They made multiple Planet of the Apes movies.
No,
so it's not
it.
About the monkey.
But those apes, they're not like pretending. It's not a real person now portrayed as an ape. Like this guy, his mom is his mom. It's a lady. It's a normal human lady. His girlfriend is a normal human girlfriend. His dad is a normal human dad, but he's a monkey. It's just weird.
Does it bother you that Mickey Mouse is friends with Goofy, who is a dog, but also has a dog named Pluto?
Mm-hmm. It's a cartoon.
But the rules.
But the rules,
right, the
of,
rules
the cartoon
of the
universe
Disney
are
universe are these are talking, walking animals.
Boom, family. Bingo. Okay, so that's my exact point that we got to the other day, dog, is that the rules of this universe is that this dude is a monkey with a normal human girlfriend.
He's a
it's
real
not
person.
That hard.
I hate to break it to you. Mickey Mouse ain't real.
What?
Okay, great. Parents, if you
hate to break it to you.
Earmuffs.
Yeah, but I do think, I honestly.
Who else isn't real, Wheeler?
I think the Pluto Goofy problem is harder to reconcile than the Monkey Man.
What about Brian the Dog problem from Family Guy?
Ever watched it?
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
See, this is the.
This is impossible.
I'm pushed to my limit.
I'm almost see, that's angry right there. That's angry.
Almost cussed.
Yeah.
No,
it's 114 overwhelmed with futility.
I would say the evidence that nobody is seeing it is backing up my point. People are, when we were in the theater and the trailer came on and it was not.
I don't think that's a monkey thing.
I think it's partly that because everybody around us was what
Brad
the hell
Pitt
is this?
Brad Pitt came out with a movie where my whole life I felt like a lemur and then he was this really hot lemur. People would probably go see that.
I don't know they would. But I know this, in the theater when we saw the trailer, and I forget which movie we saw, but it was one of the recent movies that was...
something realistic.
2 months ago. No, I don't remember what it was. But everybody, I mean, the room was loaded with just all ages of people, and as it's playing, all you heard was people going, that looks so weird, that looks stupid, what is this? Like, that's what it was. It was literally everybody around from all ages. It was the only thing that bridged the generation gaps in that room. Was everybody going, what?
I thought these two were going to come to blows. And Andrew was just kind of being nice when there was a story about a library and Wheel's wife works as a librarian. And he goes, oh, is that going to affect Susan? And Wheel's is like, different city, dog.
Oh, dude. Okay. Did he say dog? I did. I was being a smart ass.
What?
Like, dude, okay, so the story says.
So mean.
And I'm just putting my papers away. Like, just,
right, so, like, come on. Seriously.
Idiot. Why would you even ask that?
The facility that was named in the news story was in Richmond Heights. We don't live in Richmond Heights.
I don't know where that is. I don't live here.
And this is the point. He doesn't know where a neighborhood is. And you're like, well, that could be any neighborhood on
Listen,
the St. Louis,
I live in
Missouri
a different
side.
State.
Your wife might be the only librarian that I can think of, I so I would probably ask the same question.
It's like asking somebody like, oh, you're from California? Do you know Brad Pitt?
It
could have been like, no, Susan works at O'Fallon, but her good friends work there. They might have bed bugs now.
No, I just said it's a different library system. It's not even the same
thing. In Andrew's defense, if I had not actually physically been out to that library myself, I would have no idea.
You don't know where Richmond Heights is?
I mean, it was a bed bug story?
Yeah.
There's bed bugs at the library?
There's a pool.
It's that whole thing off of 270 where there's a pool and there's a building. It's like a whole thing.
How do you have bed bugs at a pool?
270 isn't Richmond Heights.
Yeah, for what it's worth, I'm no closer to knowing where Richmond Heights is.
He doesn't either because it's not 270.
No, it's not. That's Maryland.
Richmond Heights is 170. Okay.
I have yet to find out where that is.
So the library has a pool?
Yeah.
Well, it's like a big city complex.
It's like a big
and
complex.
In the same place.
Oh, my gosh.
He knows an awful lot
and
about this library.
Bed bugs in
not
there?
Having anything to do
heard
with him
in the news, Andrew. I
not
listened
having
for,
anything to do with him.
I listened for 30 seconds on the news. It's not that hard, bro. I was like, I live in Illinois. I don't know anything about
Missouri.
No one knows
where Richmond Heights is or who Robbie Williams is.
No, so. Yeah, that's true.
No. I always get Richmond Heights and Maryland Heights confused.
Well, you
shouldn't.
I literally just did it. Richmond Heights is
two different cities, though.
No, they're not even close to each other.
Are they not close to each other?
No.
No,
okay,
it's the Galleria.
This is information.
Richmond,
I'm zeroing in.
You'll never forget this. Richmond Heights is like the Galleria area.
I thought that was Brentwood.
They're all
next
abut,
to each
yep.
other, yeah.
Okay.
You said they're all abut?
They abut.
Oh.
Haboob.
Has anyone run into a haboob lately?
well, we don't live in the desert.
Well, thought maybe you would go there. You're the only haboob witness I've seen.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know anyone who's been close to a haboob.
You've seen a haboob?
He was in it.
I had to outrun the haboob. We talked about this.
Was this on the east side?
It was a big haboob.
No, it was in Arizona.
It was bouncing after me.
It was in Phoenix.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So many haboobs in Phoenix.
Welcome back, DGS 123. I can pinpoint when my claustrophobia really kicked in. Probably 8 years ago, I was invited by a local float place, you know, like the deprivation chambers.
Yeah. So not like Macy's Day.
Right. Yeah, no, Macy's no. Parade. Like you go in and they have like these clam tubs or mm-hmm. rooms. And so I did it and it was delightful. And it was a room. It wasn't a clam. It was a room. So there was a door. And I knew there was a door because I came through it. And then they have this light that you can shine, which, by the way, I was a much larger man then, but it's the best I've ever looked naked by several factors. Just being in the water, floating with that light on, I don't know what it did, but it did me well, did me a solid. Then I turned the light off, and then I couldn't find the light, and I couldn't find the door.
Oh.
And it's one of those times where I'm like, okay, I know they're both here. I'm in a fairly small space. How long can it take me? It took me a couple minutes, and that just sort of kind of, I'd never felt that panicky before, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't so much like I didn't think I was going to get out. I didn't bang on the door, yell for help. It was just, I'd never experienced that level of like, okay. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I've been a little more claustrophobic.
So is it ever crippling?
The only thing I have that's sort of like that is I have a new thing. No one likes to have their nose stopped up. That's a bad feeling. But when I am in bed, lying on my back, and my nose gets stopped up, it's not like a normal, like, I should get up and blow my nose. It's like a panicky, like, okay, you're going to be able to breathe. It's, you know, and I'll go downstairs, and I'll even walk outside, get a little cold air in my sinuses. That's my worst one, which I don't feel so bad about, because not breathing is a pretty uniform human fear. But mine's just elevated, so.
Yeah, I think I just have a normal amount of, you know, the normal kind of, what is the phobia? I can't forget. You already said it. I can't remember the name.
Claustrophobia.
Damn. But like the cave divers.
Oh.
Yeah, that's.
Where they go, like they're really tight caves and they know that they can get through them, I guess, because they've already been through them. But just there's no room to spare on any side and there's water involved. Like, no.
No.
Absolutely not.
Here's how bad mine is. Like, we've all been, except probably Amy, to like a fun house, a scary house, a horror house, you know, and they have the thin hallways and your single file line. And
they're like puffy?
Yeah.
Filled with air?
Yeah. No,
I don't like those because I think they're gross. I don't like them because I think they probably never get washed, and how many people walk through them and their faces are touched up against them or their pet hair from their clothes.
It's as bad as John Hancock's neck oil.
Oh, that neck. What is he talking
about? If you wear a scarf every day, you're going to get some neck oil on it lest you wash it.
John Hancock told us earlier that he has no neck oil at all. No oil coming off his neck, which means nothing coming off his face ever, which is a weird thing.
We were talking about that in relation
to
a
scarf. They were freaked out because
he didn't wash his scarf.
Wash his scarf.
He has a scarf that he's had for, what, 20 years? Not the snooker one, but the piano one.
Yeah, like 20, 30 years, and he says he's never washed it, which is gross.
Because if that scarf were white or light colored, you would see some stuff on it.
I think it's fine to not wash a scarf.
Well, you're gross.
You just made a really cute face.
I mean, if you're like working out in the scarf, maybe it's gross.
Yeah.
Can I go back for a moment to the deprivation chamber? Mm-hmm. Reminds me of hot tubs. And this is not a phobia thing. I just think it's really gross to be in a hot tub with someone else who's not your partner. Because if they're your partner, then you're probably pretty intimate to begin with. But if a third person comes in, here comes Jenny and Bob from Cleveland, now you're just in a boiling crock of your own bacteria.
Yeah,
do you feel worse about that than just being in a pool?
Yes, I do. I think because of the warmth
and
the proximity.
But it's also like chlorinated and stuff. Like it's.
Oh, I'm sure it's safe.
Yeah.
It's just I think I'm going to take myself out of here. Yeah.
I got you. I got you.
Well, if you're ever in that position you want him to leave, just use your toes. No. And then touch
his
toes.
How would you tell? The bubbles are already on.
Touch his toes and then
don't
move
them. What if that's
what
they're looking for?
Well, then you got a problem.
And in a hot tub, it's like a 50-50 chance.
Right?
Yeah, I kind of feel like hot tub
what
people.
What hot tubs you've been around?
Or maybe it's not a problem.
Especially in Richmond Heights.
You got to watch out. Are you talking about the 270 Richmond Heights?
Hey,
or
bed
the 170
from what
Richmond
I understand.
Heights?
Yeah. Wheeler's wife can't go work there anymore.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And nobody even asked him about it.
Nope.
Rude.
Strange.
Quite. Quite rude. 134 at DGS. I saw something on TikTok. I'm sure you guys have seen it. Just a bunch of pieces of white bread, and it says, don't say you came from nothing if this wasn't your bread, your toast, and all of your buns. Which is so true. Like I didn't see a bun till I was 15 years old. Like white bread was everything.
Yeah.
Hot dogs, boiled hot dogs. If mom grilled the hot dogs, something was wrong. Like they'd had a big fight, or I'm about to find out. I'm not going to Florida. Like it was boiled hot dogs,
yeah,
white bread, and I know this is a travesty, but ketchup. Ketchup was a big deal.
It's fine. Okay.
To this day, I'll put ketchup on my steak at Cab Grill because suck it, whatever, I do what I want.
Wow,
thank you.
Well, yeah. I think
Ron's just judged you.
It's okay.
I don't know if I was a teenager before. I mean, if you got a hot dog at the ballpark, obviously it was in a bun. But at home, I know I was in my teens and we were still using the white bread and the boiled hot dog.
There you go.
You'd microwave it and try to stop it before it exploded.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a thin a margin as you can get.
Yeah. So it is the most delicate margin.
But it's okay if they explode a little bit.
A little explosion.
Yeah.
Andrew
just not
can
a
tell
full
you.
Explosion.
There's nothing wrong with a boiled hot dog. Just call it steamed.
Steamed, yeah.
Say it's a steamed hot dog. Basically the same thing.
But did you guys...
That is the inferior way, I think, to have a hot dog.
Yeah, I would agree.
What's the
a lot of ballpark
way?
Hot dogs are steamed.
The inferior way would be grilled.
Yeah, that is fancy.
You cut them in half when you grill
them?
But
it does taste different, though.
No, I don't, but it is better to do that.
They're also good just in a frying pan, just like you would
throw
a piece
of
chicken in there. Yeah.
How do they do them at the ballpark? I know there are different ones.
Well,
but
sometimes you have the rollers that they're on the rollers, but Ronch is right. Sometimes they are just steamed.
Yep. Yeah. If you get a street vendor, like if they don't really have them, but if you ever find a street vendor selling hot dogs, they're probably steamed.
Yeah.
And I think those are great.
Did you guys ever take the crust off the white bread and then roll it in a ball? You could do the ball, like the tight ball of white bread with the crust.
And then do what with the ball?
Eat it.
Oh.
That always grossed me out because I had such sweaty little meat paws.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. God, Phoebe used to do that. We would go to Chevy's, and they give you the, for little kids, they'll give you the tortilla dough with a couple of crayons stuck in it, and then you know, and she was like Homer Simpson with a sandwich. We would find her gnawing on that dough like a month later.
Gross.
Oh, yeah. Under her bed. So gross.
So gross.
Yeah.
Wait, they did what? With the crayons? What?
They would give you the soft dough that they're about to make a tortilla out of.
Right.
And they'd stick a couple crayons in there and then give you a coloring book.
Yeah, well, because you could play with it like Play-Doh.
Yeah. I don't think anyone would expect you to eat it, right?
It wasn't meant to be eaten.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They didn't
I gotcha.
See my little freak coming. Oh, that's...
Like the raw cookie dough people like.
Oh, it's the best.
I can't.
Are you serious?
I don't like it. I prefer it. I just ate so
love
much of it at Christmas when my mom was making cookies. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Don't they tell you not to?
Yeah, whatever.
It's not the eggs, it's the flour.
No one's ever gotten sick from raw cookie dough.
Well, somebody must have, or else they wouldn't
have told
you.
I mean, I'm sure it happens, but the odds are pretty small because I've done it probably 10
million
times.
Yeah, that is apocrypha.
Apocrypha.
I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm just saying I'm 53 and
been doing it
forever. Is
it supposed to be the frozen stuff too? Because I'll eat that like.
Well, I don't think you're supposed to eat those either, but I'll do that too. Yeah.
Like the cookie dough ice cream? Gross.
Yeah, that's
the best. Can't do it.
The best one for cookie dough ice cream is if you got, there's the Ben and Jerry's one that is chocolate ice cream with peanut butter cookie dough.
See, I'm not a big peanut butter chocolate combo. I know that's you know, anathema if we're going to go on that theme. But I do like the chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream.
Those are good.
That's so good.
I love Fridays.
Yeah. This is what we do.
Yeah.
This is what we would be doing. Ice cream.
If we were in the office, we'd have literally this exact same conversation.
It's 270 Richmond Heights.
Yeah, that's
like, no,
totally
you dumb
different
idiot.
City, dog.
They're different places. Screaming
the voice
at
of
us.
St. Louis. I don't think 270 is Richmond Heights.
That's right.
The voice of St. Louis. Don't know where anything is.
Yeah.
I live right there.
I don't know.
Can I make the most obvious complaint ever? Everyone complains about this, but it's my turn. It's my turn to go to the DMV. And I'm just so mad. I'm so much more angry than I was in the 90s because it's 2025. I don't have a flying car. There's so many things that we don't have. At least you could save me the trouble of going to the friggin' DMV. There, I see no reason. No reason. We have AI. We have a quantum computer. And I still have to go stand in line, talk to someone with a sourpuss face, and who I believe is 100% looking to make sure there's one document I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of life that we can't avoid, and it's just awful.
Is it to get a new license?
It's everything. It's all come due at once.
I will say, you know how everyone has their car insurance on their phone now? Like, I have my car insurance card on my phone. I don't even have a physical card. That does not count at the DMV. And so I brought all the papers in, like you said, and they said, do you have car insurance? I said, yes, I do. Like, we need a paper card. And I said, well, I don't have one. It's on my phone. If I print this out, does that count? And they said, yes. So I went home and printed it out on an 8x11. I brought in an 8x11 insurance card.
Which was just the same thing you had on your phone.
But it was printed, and I'm feeling like a total doofus, handed it to them, and it worked. But you do have to have physical paper.
Can you not get your license renewed by mail?
I don't know.
No, you can, but there are certain periods where you actually have to go in and do it.
And you can't get the real ID that way.
Right.
You need to get the real ID.
To get that. But then down the road, I think you can, like once you have it.
And my license is expired. And to get the real ID, it says the first thing you need is a non-expired license. So I guess I'm going to have to get a non-real ID and then turn around and get a real ID with my non-expired license.
There's got to be a way around that.
I've never found them to be helpful.
Tell them you're Dave Glover.
Yeah, they'll have to Google who is Dave Glover.
Who the hell?
Who the hell is Dave Glover?
Well, Dave, it seems we can tell you're not living your life right.
The only time I'm really confident in anything DMV or taxes related are the questions like, do you have any livestock? I'm like, no, I don't have any livestock.
They ask you if you have livestock?
Oh, yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
At the DMV?
No, I said DMV or anything taxes-related.
Oh, taxes?
Personal property taxes. Oh, yeah. They ask you if you have any livestock, if you have any boats.
Guess I haven't noticed that.
You haven't noticed the livestock question?
I don't know.
The only question I know how to answer.
I got a tax guy. He does it.
How does he know you don't have a cow?
Well, he would ask me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he thinks...
Did he ask you once? Hey, Ron, do you have a cow?
I do not recall.
Does one cow count as livestock?
Sure does.
Really?
Even
if it's a pet?
Hell yeah.
Does your guy call you Ron, or does he call you Chris?
I don't know. What about a goat? Is a goat livestock?
Yeah.
I think so.
Look, I would, if I knew that I could do it and do it
what?
Right, and I'm about to tell you. Give me a second,
get
woman.
A goat?
If I thought
don't
I could keep
like that!
If I thought I could keep livestock alive, that would be my life. Like, that's what I would do for the rest of my life, is be a farmer. But I am certain that I wouldn't be able to
keep... They call it livestock, not dead stock.
Yep, they would be dead stock.
Why?
What a great life that would be.
I don't know.
I think it's difficult.
It seems like be on the farm,
you
deal with animals.
No, you can't wake up early, and you don't know how to milk a cow, and you can't wake up early.
Well, that's the problem.
Oh, I bet he can milk a cow.
To keep him alive, you just got to feed him.
I don't know how much.
They wouldn't give you instructions.
I couldn't keep a plant alive because I was watering it too much. My cows would be so fat.
Oh, it's kind of
like, I don't know. It looks hungry here.
Maybe we can get a ranch together.
Yeah. You want to?
I feel the same way. I think it'd be great.
We could take shifts or something.
Yeah, drinking your coffee.
You two guys doing that would be an amazing reality
TV show.
Wearing
our shackets.
Oh, man.
Carl, come work for us?
Sure.
I'm going to be our ranch hand.
I'll dress up as the cow and get overfed by Ranji.
Ranch bros.
Wow. Be careful. You might get milked.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
This cow's producing no milk. I don't know what's going on with this cow.
But she's first in line every morning.
Every morning.
Where did he get that Charlie Brown shirt?
Damn, he just... I just milked you. Why do you keep coming back?
Hey, no, Ranji. Hey, it's not so bad once you get used to it.
Also, Dave,
cow would stop talking to me.
Dave, have you noticed the cow talks?
No one's gonna drink this milk. 148 DGS. Happy Friday. So I'm always saying to the guys, hey, we're gonna get existential here, and I did it yesterday. And Michael Kelly said, going down the rabbit hole, and I'm like, there's the name of the segment. So the DGS rabbit hole day one. Here is the query. In general, is it better to expand your knowledge or to deepen it?
Okay. So to mean know a little about a lot of things as opposed to knowing a lot about...
Or drill down on the things you already know.
It's probably better to be an expert on fewer things, don't you think? Because you could do a lot more with that. You could have a career out of it. If you are an expert, then you would be sought after.
Yeah, I think this was literally like a Samuel Johnson quote, like from the 19th century Britain or 18th century Britain. But it was basically about knowing a lot about knowing a little about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And a lot about like one or two things. Mm-hmm. So you want to have a little bit of knowledge about all sorts of stuff. Know what's going on. Know what worlds you're not an expert in. But then be an expert in a couple of things.
We say you got to pick one.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. That's why it's difficult because in general, you'd like to.
How about let's just say both. At this age, we've all learned quite a lot. At this age, do you think it's more important to expand your horizons and learn about new things or to pick something and say, I'm really going to find the bottom of this one?
Is this for entertainment purposes, like something like as a hobby?
Can be anything.
Or is it just in general, are you better off this way?
Are you better off? Is the world better off? Can you offer more to the world by becoming an expert?
I'd drill down on one thing, but I would go after one thing.
You don't have a one thing
at this point. Honestly, if it were like a study subject, like literally like a literature, I would just drill down. And if I had to be super specific, it'd be Victorian literature. If it were an activity, it would just like go to the mountains, become a mountain expert. But probably literature. I would just really, really drill down.
Actually, I think I'm going to change my answer because if we're talking about if we'd all be a little bit better off. If we knew more things or knew a little bit about a lot of things, maybe that would breed more empathy.
Hmm.
You know, maybe you'd be more curious about a lot of stuff as opposed to, well, this is just my world and this is what I know. And therefore I can't understand where you're coming from or what you're going through.
See, that's a very interesting point.
Yeah. If you have to choose like now, where would either one of them make you more useful to other people? So, like, if I spend my time, I'm just like, I'm in deep into baseball, and I'm just going to, that's it. That's all I'm going to do. How many people is that going to impact? How much will that do for me or for someone else? Well, for me, it might be the most entertaining option. But it's not going to necessarily help anybody else in any way, shape, or form. Now, knowing things on a surface level is not necessarily, but even, as Ronj pointed out, even on a surface level, then you might understand someone else's particular circumstance more than you would if you just knew that one thing or spent your time on that one thing moving forward.
As long as you didn't mistake your superficial surface understanding of a topic as really getting the topic itself, because if you oversimplify, that actually can produce the opposite of empathy because you think, well, why don't you just do this?
Well, maybe it makes you more curious.
But you get my point. It's like basically whenever you get into any situation or topic, oh, wow, this is way more complicated than I thought. That's what happens when you drill down.
But if you have like just an inherent curiosity, I think you understand you don't know everything. I think you understand that you don't know enough about a topic.
Well, we're actually
you know
making the decision here to choose which way. So right. We're understanding that it is going to be a superficial knowledge to a degree, right? Maybe it's not just surface level. Maybe it's only a little below the surface versus drilling down super deep. I would say this, picking the ones are going to be a lot easier.
Second rabbit hole question, how do you define genius? How do you personally define someone who you believe to be a genius?
Good at math.
He's coming back to math.
Yeah,
it's always
theme.
Math. Yeah. It's really bothered me forever.
And I'm going to open a ranch with this guy.
This guy's genius.
How many cows do we have? How will we ever figure this out?
He counted those cows in seconds.
I think of it more as people that find new ways of approaching problems.
Interesting.
Like they find different ways to get things done or solving problems that had not had a solution before. And I know that's not the only way, but to me, that's like, if I think of someone like, man, that guy's brilliant. He just unlocked this thing that nobody had unlocked before. It doesn't mean that other people don't have the same intellectual capacity, but a lot of people have similar intellectual capacities, but they don't necessarily have the quote-unquote breakthrough.
I would agree with that. The rarity, like you said, so many talented people, so many brilliant people, but kind of that same thing. I've had this conversation before. About musicians, who would you consider a genius? There are so many talented musicians, but there are few people who were genre breaking or genre creating in the same way that Kevin was saying. They're geniuses, but they took a path that no one had taken before. They unlocked a door no one had unlocked before. That to me is how you go from just being a brilliant person or brilliant artist to a genius. It's the rarity.
What made Einstein a genius? Because even he joked that he wasn't good at math.
Math.
No, he said, like, I'm not that good at math.
I mean, that's what he said. But well, clearly.
Yes, relative to the world that he lived in with other math geniuses.
No pun intended.
No doubt. But, I mean, he changed the way people looked at physics. But we've now grown past it, right? I mean, that was a large part of the plot of Oppenheimer, is that he even realized that physics at that time had gone past what his original observations were, and it didn't invalidate his. You're just adding to it, right? There's just new ways of seeing it, but those were breakthroughs. Those were things that changed what happened after. Maybe that's it.
Mm-hmm.
If everything that comes after is different because of what you did,
that's probably the easiest definition. You change the way everybody thinks about stuff.
Yeah,
which is another way of looking at unlocking a door,
right,
that
right.
people had not walked through before.
And don't you think, whether it's playing a guitar or being a mathematician, that you have to have such command over your instrument that it allows you to, you are no longer held back by the parameters of your physicality, if that makes sense. Like, I can only move my hand so quickly to play drums. I can only move my finger so quickly to play guitar. And for me, it's not very quickly on either one. And then you have people like Jimmy Griffin, who, having played with him for 10 years, there's nothing between his brain and his fingers.
Right, right.
For me, there are many stops along the way.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do this. Why are you trying that? What are you doing here? For Jimmy, it's... this is hyperbolic, but he is just expressing his soul through an instrument, which I believe you can also do with mathematics or Chris and I cattle ranching.
Yeah.
But yeah, having such command over your instrument that you can do with it what you want, and you do with it things that no one else has done before.
Yeah. That works great. I mean, I think of that, Ranjan, sports. How many people does that fit? The greats, the ones that are different. Like, it, they're not out there thinking, I need to do this. Patrick Mahomes isn't out there thinking, well, you know what? This play, I might need to drop down sidearm and throw off one leg running to my left. He just does it. It just happens.
Their brain works in different ways.
Right.
And that's why I think a lot of them, this is a different conversation, but aren't as good at coaching.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Because they can't explain what they can do. They can just do
and
it.
And other people can't do it, and it's a source of frustration.
It's not just physical talent, but also brain. I've heard a ton about Greg Maddux recently.
Oh, thinking?
Yes.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
But it's also, I mean, look, there's a physical element, though, to being able to repeat the same thing over and over again without making mistakes.